Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with my cricket coach, Jeremy Zakas of New South Wales. Jeremy, it's time to say the Australian team is doing extremely well. They beat the India team in a 5-day test, and now they're already talking about Ashes, which is what, a year and a half away? Remind everybody what the Ashes are, Jeremy.
Absolutely, John. And the Ashes is really just a year away, but it feels like a year and a half when you're preparing for it. The Ashes is a 200-year-old fight between England and Australia. I mean, as if we haven't had enough, you know, rivalry between us and the Brits. Ashes, the cricket, this is where it really began. And what happened about 200 years ago was England and Australia played a cricket game at Lord's, which is in London. It's a fabled, well-kept cricket ground. It's basically holy ground for cricket. And there was so much animosity between England and Australia at this time because Australia being a new colony, England wanting to basically exert its dominance and say, look, we're still your masters. We're still, you know, the creators of you and your commanders. Basically, they invited us over there to play this. It was supposed to be a friendly game, but what it turned into was basically a political stout. And what the thought process was that England would beat Australia and basically show that it was still in command of us and that we couldn't beat them at cricket, and basically we were still just a bunch of convicts. But what actually happened during this historic game was that the Australian team, despite being a bunch of convicts, despite, you know, being new colonialists, they came in with an incredibly strong side. And for the proper British establishment, the conservative establishment, I guess you could say, they couldn't believe how well we played cricket. And so they started putting in their best players. And across the course of the day that this game was played, cricket had put in what was considered at that time their best possible side. But lo and behold, Australia won. And so what happened was basically cricket then deemed, you know, in 2 years from now, we're going to continue this series. We're going to bring you back. And we're going to beat you. And basically, that's where the Ashes was born. And the actual term Ashes comes from an act that occurred at the end of the game. And what happened was, and what the story is that the English, so defeated and so annoyed by this defeat, actually burnt the stumps, so that basically the sticks at the end of the cricket pitch that you try and hit with the ball, they burnt them to the ground out of disgust that they'd lost this game. The Australian side basically got these ashes, put them into an urn, and that became then the trophy between this cricket stoush between Australia and England. And the reason I believe it is actually 2 years too was because that was the time it took to travel between Australia and England. It wasn't, you know, you couldn't hop on a plane 200 years ago to get to England. It took many, many months. So they made it 2 years so each side could prepare their own team, prepare their own basically strategies and be prepared to basically fight it out. And that tradition has remained. Every 2 years, we have the Ashes series. So, John, this is, you know, a long, long-running series, and which is why England and Australia take this so seriously, because it really came about from a political sort of fight.
For our English listeners, this will be painful, but I'm going to read it. England has not won a test series against Australia in 8 years, going down 4-0 during the most recent encounter in 2021-2022. I did not realize, because I was a rookie trainee newbie understanding cricket at the time, what a momentous victory that was. 4-0, overwhelming the English team. And now that I'm reminded of it, that's the anticipation of the next one. And England since that time has invented something called Bazball, which I understand is just a hurry-up game, played kind of rough. Around the wickets. However, Australia is doing extremely well no matter what the conditions are, and they've just won something called the Border Gavaskar Trophy in India. They beat the India team, which is, the India team is considered the best in the world sometimes. Always? Now? Is it?
It certainly is, John. In fact, it's typically in most leagues the best team. If you're going against the Indians, you really put your top side up. So the fact that Australia beat them, it's either that India themselves didn't quite have their top side, which I'm just not sure about. I think they certainly had their top side in on these games, or Australia just has the right mix. And honestly, I think after the Ashes series that we saw last year, and the development in the Australian side and the strategy and the anticipation of having to beat tougher competitors, especially with Bazball coming on the scene, which is a very aggressive style of cricket, which forced the Australian team to change its strategies and practice and train in a very different way. I think genuinely, John, we just have a phenomenal Australian team that's reacted so much to all these changes in the cricket dynamic across the world that we've just got the right mix. And I'm hoping I'm right. And I'm hoping that people haven't been sandbagging, like, for example, the Indians have been sandbagging with putting in a lesser team. But I think we're just that good.
We're looking at a preparation that's going to take a year. I didn't realize, Jeremy, when we went through the Ashes the first time, what was that, a year ago? I didn't realize I was asking you questions about something where you spent your week breathless anticipating the next test. I didn't know that all of Australia stops thinking and breathing while the test is going on. I mean, it's like the World Series. It's more than the World Series for you, right? Because of your history.
That's exactly right. And you can't miss it either. It's all across our television. There's a very big workup across the Christmas period because this is always played at the end of December and into January. So in Australia here, most of Australia's on Christmas break. So we're on our holidays, which is a fantastic opportunity to watch all the lead up to the cricket. So it is a humongous thing. And then because it does roll back into the beginning of most of our year, as far as work's concerned, you find that a lot of people in Australia, a lot of Australians actually take leave to go to the Ashes series, especially if it's being held in Australia. So it's one of these massive, phenomenal events that always has brought Australia together. And even back in, say, the 80s or even the 70s, where Australia wasn't televised so much, where the television commercial rights weren't really put in place for the Ashes to be such a big event, people used to physically make the pilgrimage to go and watch the Ashes. So it's always been this thing that Australians have gone to. And as you said, we basically hold our breath during the entire series just to see who wins, because honestly, bragging rights, so much rides on it.
There's one player I identify as critical for your success, Alex Carey. He is the wicket keeper. That's the young man standing in a crouch behind the wickets with two gloves, right? He has two padded gloves. And his job is to catch the ball when it's pitched in. But does he also give directions to the team? Is he like a coxswain in a 8-man crew? Does he shout out when things are happening?
That's actually a great description, John. He certainly is like a coxswain in an 8-man crew. And what he does is, one, he'll position the fielders, especially the ones that are close into the field, because from being a wicket keeper, he can see how the ball is coming down towards the batsman and how the batsman's reacting. So he can almost pick with the next bat or with the next hit where the ball could potentially go based on how he's been observing the batsman standing and sort of reacting to the other balls. So he can move players out, he can move further around, I guess you could say, like towards the back end of the field, based on what he's understanding. But also, as the ball is coming in, you'll hear the shouting, and that's often coming from the wicket keeper, especially if the ball's coming in towards his end, or he's calling other players to basically, throw to a cutoff, or he's saying throw to say the bowling end or his end. Depending on how the play is going. So it certainly plays a massive critical part. And you really need those, I guess you could say, young, intelligent, very feisty players in that position, because the wicket keeper can sometimes make or break a game. I mean, you need the bowlers, you need the batters, but it's the wicket keeper that can keep it together on the field. And you'll find that the actual cricket captains of the team put a lot of stock in what the wicket keeper can do and give them a lot of power, because they're almost like an executive officer, I guess you could say, on the field. They're the ones that will make it happen. So he's going to be incredibly important in this coming up Ashes series.
A hot march, a protection of snakes in Canberra, and Alex Carey, the wicket keeper for the Australia team looking to Ashes. Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales, the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy.
Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.